Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shane Attack.
Is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated offers the maximum discount on Privateer Press products. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free or reduced shipping. You can find the web store at www.discountgamesinc.com. Welcome to Chain Attack. I'm your host, Trevor, and I play stay-at-home dad, I guess.
I'm Jay, and I'm still playing the shipping game.
Are you winning?
I'm gonna go with yes. as much as I like to bellyache and have a little bit of self pity going on, I am definitely grateful for everyone who's been placing orders and the opportunity to ship stuff out, so that has been good.
And I'm Josh. I feel like I should get a monocle because I feel like I'm living in a world where I'm trying to be like an oil baron, but I don't know what oil is yet.
That seems less effective.
Yeah. It's too bad. Look, you never.
Mainly, I just want a monocle. Okay.
Okay.
We can make that happen.
I'm curious, Trevor. Did you like the movie There Will Be Blood?
I've never actually seen it. It's been on my list, but I didn't know if I'd like it enough, so I didn't buy it, and I was just kind of waiting for it to come up somewhere, and I don't think it ever really has. So I've never seen it.
Yeah. Josh talking about oil made me think of that, and he's obviously never going to see it, but I'd be really curious if it's a movie he liked or not. So, joining us from the other side of the world via the magic of the internet, we have our dear friend, Mr. Aaron Well.
Hello, and Josh, I picture you with a monocle. And I think you need a cane as well. And you would totally be legit. I'd want to be one of your posse, you know, just, you know, a couple of feet to the left, a couple of feet
right
behind you. Just, you know,
there we go.
Just,
nice.
That's right, you know.
Suspenders and a bow tie.
What you actually need to do is wait until maybe you've already done this. Are you now officially the CEO of your company yet?
Technically not until May 1, but for all intents and purposes, I'm like a member of America's current administration. I'm an acting.
Okay.
We've all done a bit of acting in our time.
Yeah, you need to. You need to go ahead and wait until you're officially CEO, and then don the monocle and, you know, a few other things to make sure that everyone understands the gravity.
The power
of
shift. Yeah,
that's yes. Right.
Well, I could get a branded monocle too. I'll work on that.
You need to be a little bit careful though, so that you don't end up having what happened to you, what happened at Disney, where, like, just before the coronavirus swept everywhere, Bob Iger was like, okay, see you guys, I'm stepping down as CEO. And, like, yesterday, he was like, just kidding, I'm going to take things over and lead you guys back to the promised land. I'm guessing you're in a little bit less danger.
Yeah, well, I do wonder if our retiring president is like, well, actually, the truth is, he's got to be like, I am a genius.
Yeah, right?
He's stepping out, right? Like, his last day of work was honestly a couple of weeks ago, but, like, yeah.
You just imagine walk out, just, you know, punch his timesheet, look over you, Josh, and say, it's all on you, buddy. much do you...
a smarter man than I am. I would have done that.
It's like, I've successfully steered that ship to here, Josh. You just got to bring it home, mate. I'll leave it all with you.
Wait. Who are you?
Oh, dear.
We have a strange Tasmanian on the show. He needs to introduce himself.
Oh, that's right. He didn't say.
I thought we did. I'm Aaron.
I said who he was, but he didn't.
I missed that part.
My apologies. My name is Aaron, and I live in Tasmania, a magical, wonderful place on the other side of the world. Kind of like Disneyland, just, you know, not as many pretty things. Well, it depends what you're into, really. So.
Do you have as many mice?
I'm just... Sorry?
Do you have as many mice?
Probably, yeah. I'm just sitting out here looking over the water, over at the wonderful little city. It looks pretty quiet on a Wednesday morning, my time. We're right into time travel here in Tasmania. We're a bit ahead of the curve. So, sadly, the view is still bleak at Wednesday morning as opposed to Tuesday afternoon, but we're getting there.
So, I guess let's go ahead and jump into the intro. Josh, do you have anything from the community?
I am here to tell you that the Community Builders looks like the set of the latest Denis Villeneuve movie that's coming out later this year. It is a barren wasteland. There is not much conversation occurring, unfortunately.
I mean, to be fair, there's not much conversation in any of the communities that I'm involved in that involve social connection. So
really?
Yeah, not really.
Are the car customization group still like a pot of crabs that are like,
oh, they're worse.
You suck.
They're worse because they think that it doesn't apply to them because they can go do their car meets and just like, you know, stay 6 feet
apart.
Everybody
sit in the car.
Sure. Yeah, sit in their car, roll their windows down. There was a big article about it in our own town, but I'm sure it's going on elsewhere too, where they're, you know.
Maybe they're onto something. Maybe the first sport that needs to come back is actual Rocket League. Like, people are just in cars driving balls around that way.
Well, I'm sure pay TV and all the betting agencies would love that, Josh. They just, you know, I saw in Australia, you know, in terms of obviously the big shift to esports. So it's funny watching all the commercials about, you know, you can back, obviously, a couple of months ago, you know, bet on sports, bet on everything. Now it's all bet on esports. So, you know,
crazy.
maybe if we get that off the ground, then, you know, that could be an opportunity.
just another way for us to get a monocle.
That's right. I was thinking more, you know, keep everyone entertained, but I mean, of course, you know.
that's what we'll call it, Josh. It'll be the Monocle League.
The Monocle League.
Oh, dear.
So, news for DGI. I expected all of the April pre-releases to just get canceled, or not canceled, pushed back. But it turns out that we are going to see 4 items released this month. We'll see the Negation Angels, Aurora 2 for Mon Pok will have Leviathron, and Riot Quest will have the Wastelander. And there were a few other things that were slated to release this month. Those are being pushed back, but the ones that I listed, those are still on track to release. And so go ahead and get your pre-orders in at discountgamesinc.com. So our on with Muzon Minis, if you go to MuzonStore.com, we're doing a sale right now, our Adepticon sale, where we're doing things at 35% off on the website. Go ahead and check it out. I can definitely say that Muzon Minis has been one of the companies that has been pretty impacted by the coronavirus. The Adepticon in general has always been like one of the big events that helps make the money that we need to survive during the year. And so check out the website, and hopefully there will be some items that will pique your interest. So, Josh, do you have a Dank Dune meme for us?
I do. I was going to say, it feels like an element of the world we're currently living in that you don't even have a new zone to show me.
Yeah.
All right, so the dank doom meme I'm sharing today, one of the current, well, I think it's fun, memes I see going around is a choose your quarantine house.
Uh-huh.
So there's one for Dune that has six houses. Choose your quarantine house. House one is Shaddam the Fourth, Master Sytel, and Stilgar. These are funny because some of these people would not get along well together. Right. That's the joke, right?
Yes, I mean, yes, yes.
House two is Paul Atreides, Peter DeVries, and Mother Moheim. House number three is a guild navigator, Beast Rabban, and Aaliyah. House number four is Princess Irulan, 16 Sardaukar, and Leto II. House number five, I'm not going to lie, is probably my favorite. It is 315 Duncan Idahos and Baron Harkonnen. And then house number six is a sandworm, Chani, and Thurfir Hawat. So that. Choose your house out there, baby. Yeah, I mean, the sandworm seems like the obvious choice, right?
So, speaking of sandworms and Dune, have you guys read the Vanity Fair article yet?
Okay, yeah, so
I read it.
I didn't read the article. You know my occasional hashtag unsullied life where I try to not read a lot about movies that I'm hyped about. So uh-huh. I'm like torn. So I haven't read it yet. I'm like trying to come to terms with if this applies or not.
In this case, I would say there's nothing there that's going to. I mean, you've read.
I accidentally saw some of the pictures and they look amazing.
I guess there's a couple of things that might be a little bit of a spoiler because he has changed a few things.
That might be a spoiler for the movie, you're saying? I was like, it's kind of hard to spoil the plot of the book.
No, it's not a spoiler of the plot. It's spoilers of things that he has changed of the movie.
Oh, like, okay. Yeah.
Like things that he wrote differently in the movie script that are different from the book. And they're not things that they're not like core plot points in any way, at least not my understanding of them, but they are definitely things that as someone who's read the book multiple times, if you were to walk into the theater, they might catch off guard at least for a split second.
Sure.
I'll share one meme that came out of that article. I had a bunch of people message me the article, and I skimmed through it, but I haven't consumed it yet.
Okay.
But it has a picture of Timothy Chalamet, I think is how you pronounce his name, walking, and then the meme is it just has that picture and then the caption, "Call me by your name is a killing word." Which I'm assuming I'm the only person in this pod who's watched Call Me By Your Name, but I'm probably the only one that would probably enjoy the movie out of the four of us, so, but I thought it was pretty humorous.
It is a clever use.
Yeah. Also, speaking of God Emperors, I'm a little disappointed, Josh, that you haven't been, like, getting better information from our governor.
I know. I think I'm still too many degrees removed. I think the monocle will make the difference, Jay.
I think the truth is that so Idaho had a 3-week stay-at-home order. We're recording this on Tuesday, and the governor is doing a press conference on Wednesday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
At 11 a.m. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my assumption is that they either haven't made a decision yet or haven't written things up, or I don't know. But
I suspect they haven't written things up, because last time they made an announcement, they didn't have the documentation to go along with it, which was sort of the frustrating thing about that.
One of them, yes.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Well, the good news is that's in 3.5 hours my time, so I'll be able to let you know.
There you go.
Yeah. That'd be great. Oh,
thank goodness. You don't need me, Jay. You need Aaron.
Yeah.
That's always the case.
Which, to give another update, when we last did our episode with Will Hungerford, I gave kind of the experience of applying for the payroll protection plan program with DGI versus Muse and some of the experiences with that. And right. And Hungerford was just like, man, that sounds awful. But then the very next day, I got the loan documents, got it signed, and got the money. And so there was at least some good news since the last podcast. At least
good news is capable of happening. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, Aaron, you when we said that we were going to be changing the format of the podcast and that we were going to have these kind of closing episodes where we had some guests on and stuff like that, you said that you wanted to be one of the last guests if possible. And what were you kind of thinking or why did you make that request?
Definitely. Well, because I'm sure there's plenty of other people as well, but for me, it's just irony how things kind of pan out. I remember way back when in 2011, when this whole beautiful story started, I was fortunate enough to start listening to Chain Attack at episode one. So, you know, I've been following this journey since the beginning and, you know, I've been really, really fortunate to obviously not only meet you guys in person, but become very close friends. You know, over the years and the journey we've had, we've shared some amazing experiences. You know, I've been lucky enough to be on the show. And yeah, for me, obviously, it was just like, you know, it's been such a big part of my life listening to, you know, all the episodes and, you know, being obviously part of it. And I just thought, you know, it'd be really, for me anyway, you know, it'd be really cool to you know, kind of, I was there at the start and obviously, you know, nowhere near as huge and popular as you guys, but, you know, be there at the start and help to be there near the end, really. So.
Well, what is your favorite episode?
There's been so many favorite episodes, but I really don't have a favorite episode, but I really would love, and for me, obviously, it would be a Friday. It'd be a Friday afternoon, generally when a lot of the podcasts had hit. And I used to love just hearing the stories about you guys, obviously traveling to conventions, you know, the different games you play, not just War Machine. You know, but just those experiences, you know, those friendships and, you know, talking about close games or, you know, talking about, you know, of an evening going out, you know, just being part of that community. And yeah, obviously for the first couple of years, you know, hearing all these things, but not being able to experience them. And then obviously being fortunate enough to come over and then, you know, be part of those stories and, you know, be involved and get to experience that firsthand. For me, that's, you know, that whole thing was probably my highlight.
I have a sort of follow-up question to that, which is, and I'll answer the question myself before I make you answer just cold, Aaron, but I'm curious what one of your favorite memories is at a convention. And I'm going to give you my answer, which is funny because in a way it wasn't even at the convention. And it was one where Aaron basically traveled home with Trevor and I. And so we flew from Seattle airport to the Boise airport because Trevor and I had gotten like cheap tickets from Boise to Seattle. And so we drove over. Anyway, we get back, you know, we land. It's already kind of late. I mean, I think we were flying into Boise at like 9 o'clock in the evening or something like that. And we get to the parking garage and the tire on whatever, I think it was your vehicle, right, Trevor? Is like demolished, like just decided to expire while we were in Seattle. And anyway,
to be fair,
that was like the start of the evening, right?
To be fair,
Trevor's gonna say what I was gonna say. Keep going, Trevor.
All right,
to be fair, that was a Jeep that I purchased from you.
buy beware. I can confirm. I definitely can confirm this story because you looked at me, Josh, and said, I don't know where he got this thing from. And then he had a huge smile on your face.
That's the feeling of dodging a bullet, but still taking a little bit of punishment for it. Anyway, and so that was the funny because we put that Jeep back together, and then I just fondly remember that drive home. It was late. I mean, it was one of those.
We were a bit loopy.
Versions of a trip where you really shouldn't have done it that way. You know, we're driving home. It's like 1 in the morning or something like that. But I just remember, like you're talking about, Aaron, some great stories being shared, not just about War Machine, you know, about a lot of different things. And that's one of my fondest convention memories. So it's funny because it's got that sort of terrible element, but ended up being a lot of fun in the end.
Well, for me, it was funny. You obviously you look back at it now and you think like, well, and I wouldn't try if I was in the same situation and given the same opportunity, would definitely do it again. But I was quite fortunate that we did it twice. We actually drove from Iowa all the way to Boston. So it was like a 28, maybe 30-hour drive, whatever it was. And and we did that twice, obviously. So, you know, with obviously the Muse crew. And one of my favorite stories is that Nigel was driving. I was in the front with him. I think we had John and Keith and Colin, maybe Tom gone because he was always there, and maybe Crump. And they were all asleep, and it was just Nigel and I, and we were actually playing Satana. I'm winning, I think the name of the song was, and we were just bopping away. And, yeah, it was hilarious. We were just laughing about the convention and, you know, some of the games we had. And yeah, I was also involved in a couple of awesome, you know, we had some the team tournament I was there with John and Nigel was great. But just there, the whole experience, you know, for me, obviously, you know, getting to see a lot of that part of the country, just driving and, you know, and yeah, I don't know, all the stories we come up with and, you know, all the lists we're going to do and, you know, talking about life. And so, yeah, very, very similar, you know, just, you know, been on the road and just talking and having fun.
You know, it's going to be pretty surreal when all this ends and we start going out, and we're going to feel a little bit weird going into public places again and, you know, shaking our opponent's hands again. And it's just all going to be kind of it's never going to be the same.
Man, I'm elbow bump for life. I don't know what you're talking about.
Elbow bump for life. Fair. Yeah, no, I totally agree. It is going to be interesting. You know, just for me, obviously, you know, thinking about going out and eating out and, you know, we were talking about movies, you know, going to the movies or just doing some things or, you know, obviously, you know, even just basic stuff. I'm pretty excited to be able to take my nephews down to the park again. And, you know, like, it's funny, you know, we're all kind of just ticking along and but yeah, it's one of those things. I remember, you know, a couple of times when I've been quite unwell, thankfully nothing to do with my diabetes, you know, just like really bad common colds or, you know, bad gastros and other bits and pieces you've had. And I remember parts you lie there and you're like, you know, well, for me anyway, I said to myself, geez, I can't wait till I'm better. Or, you know what I mean? Geez, I can't wait till I'm over this. I've definitely got this feeling about obviously what we're in. Like, geez, I can't wait for this to be done just so we can, you know, so we can just go back to normal life and just, you know. But I certainly have developed a huge appreciation for, you know, some of the things. And, you know, like I said, I'm dying to go out and sit down and eat out and socialize. And, you know, we talk about, you know, sharing stories and being friends and being outside and, you know, gathering in groups and all that kind of stuff. I do kind of miss that a lot. So,
yeah, it's funny. I agree with Aaron. Like, I agree with Trevor, too, what he said at the first, that in a lot of ways, this has been really an awesome time in life. Like, but yeah, even I, like, I mean, I'm playing some board games online, you know, here and there. But even I am like, man, it will be nice to, like you're saying, Aaron, you know, go back out and see people again. So yeah, there is something to be said for that.
So, Trevor, what's your favorite convention memory?
I don't know if I have. Can I go with most memorable, not my favorite?
Sure.
Yeah, that works. I think that answered spirit of the question.
Okay, so first lock and load. John Christensen, Scott, myself, Jay, I think you were there. We were driving back from Seattle. We decided to leave at like 3 in the morning or something stupid like that from Seattle. Actually, it was earlier than that. It was like 6 p.m. in Seattle. And we, at about 2 in the morning, on a mountain pass in Montana, I let Scott drive. And he hit the biggest effing pothole I think I've ever seen.
Oh.
To be fair, somewhere over on the internet, the bigger that pothole, the harder they are to see. So, you know, maybe.
Yeah, he hit it so hard that it blew the tire out, like the side of it got blown out. All of the air, all the compressed air in the tire blew through the body of the van, which was our old van that I sold about 5 years ago. It blew that air, that compressed air, up into the cabin, and it flung dust everywhere.
What?
Yeah, no, it felt like a gun had gone off, and there was dust everywhere. I thought the car had blown up, and we pull over, and it is 2 a.m, and we're on a mountain pass in Montana. We can't see a thing. The tire looks normal at that point, so we blew it back up with air, and we continued on the best we could. And it kept losing air, but we limped into Idaho Falls. I go into that morning at like, as soon as they opened, it was like 8 or 9 a.m. I went to the car plate, to the Tyler dealer, and they pull it off. And on the backside of the tire, there is a herniated section that is about 6 inches long by about 3 inches, just a big lump, where it had blown out the side of the tire and made a huge lump in the side of the tire. And they're like, you're lucky you made it home, and it has to be replaced. And anyway, it was crazy.
Memorable.
It was one of the worst nights of my life. How's that? But I will never forget it.
I was in that vehicle, and
that was the last time Jay ever drove home from Seattle, probably.
That was more so getting in a relationship with Brian, because he's very much along the camp of, like, you're not a 20-year-old anymore. You don't need to be driving through the night or well, et cetera.
Well, to be fair, when we did that, I was, what, 33?
Yeah.
Not a 30-year-old anymore, so.
Yeah, I was definitely in that vehicle, and when I was in it, there was like some foreshadowing.
Creative use of the English language?
Oh, no, foreshadowing going on, because I remember being quite scared of Scott's driving before we hit the pothole.
Yeah, I will admit, I let him take over because I was tired and he had been sleeping. But the moment he took over the wheel, I had white knuckles on the seat from there on out. I did not sleep a wink.
I remember, at least my memory of it, was that we were doing like these, you know, mountain turns, and it seemed like it was raining, and he was going like at speeds that were quite high for most conditions.
So what's funny is the reason why I started doing the drive to Seattle was because of a more memorable trip, which was before we started the podcast, which was in 2010. Josh,
are you talking about our PAX trip?
Yes.
Oh,
so
that's funny.
We took a PAX trip in 2010 in the exact same vehicle. And I'm not just saying that I think that this is the same model and color and make. I think it's the same vehicle. So we bought that van from a place that I think bought it from the rental place. So I think it's the exact same van. I have no proof of that. Same color, same model, same everything.
What wasn't that the same trip where we blew a tire outside of I gotta find the obscure town in Washington. Like Woods Ferry or something like that.
I don't remember blowing a tire, but anyway, on that, the van has a DVD player and TVs in it, and we took a PlayStation 2 with us, and we played, what is the name of that game?
Coldcept.
Yeah,
Coldcept. C-E-P-T. It's like a card game, board game.
Meets Monopoly.
Yes. Yeah.
It is a card game meets Monopoly, and it's incredibly fun. Funner than
it should not be as awesome as, let's
correct,
be honest.
There's a remake of it on the Xbox 360 called Coldcept Saga.
Right.
And if you're going to find it, that one's probably the easier one to find and probably fun. I still own both of those, I think. Anyway, we played it in the back seat the whole way up there. And basically we were fighting over who got to sit in the back seat and play while someone else was forced to drive. Anyway,
I mean, we basically invented a new game too. We called it Speed Coldcept.
I wasn't on this trip. trip, but
no,
I,
you were not.
I did hear tell of you guys playing like a deck builder or something, and Josh falling asleep while playing the game.
That happened on the same trip. That wasn't in the car.
I understand.
But yeah, same trip. We were playing Thunderstone.
Yeah.
Yes.
For the very first time.
I really was an old man before my time.
and each turn, Josh would nod off, and I'd say, Josh, it's your turn. And he would go, huh? Oh, and then he would take his turn. And this is not a game that takes long in between turns. I mean, like, I don't know, 30, 45 seconds. In between him finishing his turn and me finishing my turn, he would fall asleep again. I'd be like hitting him on the shoulder, like, Josh, it's your turn.
It's not a proud moment.
Okay, so for my story, I've said this one a few times, I think, on Chain Attack, but the Gen Con Iron Gauntlet finals, where I'm down on time and my Stormwall ends up doing a weapon lock, is probably one of my favorite memories of a convention. And then, since I'm not bound by your rules, I'm going to go ahead and share some favorite Aaron Well memories. And also, this might be an early Discount Games Inc. story that I'm not sure I've ever shared before on the podcast. Maybe I have. But
you're old enough that, again, you're not bound by my rules, and resharing stories is now your right.
Correct. I mean, I'm going to be that old man who just shares the same stories
over and over again, baby.
Yeah. So lo, these many years back when Discount Games Inc. started, it was initially started on eBay, was what I was selling through. And there was this point where I was in a renting a place and decided that we needed to do expansion. And so we purchased the place that Gameopolis is at now, and did hires to do more staffing and more shipping and stuff like that. And we get all that set up and all the commitments made. And I get a message from eBay that that basically they've put a restriction on my account, and that I'm not going to be able to list new items or increase inventory on eBay. And their explanation for it was that they said that I had been, my business was growing too quickly, and they'd had an issue.
That's the stupidest reason ever.
So I guess I must not have shared this story before.
I'm sure you have, but long ago. I'm old.
Okay.
I've forgotten it, I'm sure.
Okay. So basically they're like, okay, so we've had this issue where there's some retailers where if they grow too quickly, then they're not able to provide the level of service that that eBay expects of their company, of their providers. Then it gives a negative experience to the the end user, and then eBay gets a bad name. And so I call them on the phone, and I had like a personal rep at the time, I think. And
kids, ask your grandparents what a phone.
Yeah. So I'll throw this open to any of you. You can make a guess, but what's your guess on, at the time, my average per month I was paying in eBay fees?
I think I remember this. Your eBay fees at the time were like, I can't remember, like $2,000 or something.
It was usually around like $4,500 to $5,000 a month.
Wow.
And so I call and talk to him. I'm like, okay, like I understand this, etc., but like, I've hired new staff, I have a new loan, all these things that I'm worried about, and we're prepared to, you know, handle this. We need you to lift these restrictions. And they're just like, you know, I'm sorry, but we can't do that. And I'm like, no, you can do this. You're just choosing not to do this. And, you know, et cetera. And we went round and round, and they, I'm not sure that any of you guys have ever seen me actually really angry?
Not truly.
I think I have. I'm pretty sure I've been there for one of these calls with eBay or PayPal.
I have not, but I'm just imagining it in my mind.
This phone call was probably the angriest I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
You know Jay's tremors that he gets when he gets stressed? I don't think I've ever seen them worse than when he's on one of those calls. I mean, you can tell that his fingers just want to strangle them.
It's true. So, I told the person on the phone at the end of the conversation, I was like, I need you to understand that I will be taking steps to transition my business that is no longer reliant on eBay. And they're like, okay, sure, whatever. And so that's, you know, what did end up happening. And there were several transitions with it. But it obviously now it's to the point where I don't even sell on eBay anymore. And it's funny, I got a, I occasionally get solicitations from eBay like, oh, you should come back. And one of them was like this sales rep who's like very persistent and personalized. And, you know, it wasn't just like some spam thing. And so to get him to finally shut up, I told him my story. He sent an email about my story and was like, you know, I promised myself that I will never again do serious business with eBay. So, you know, that's the way that this is going to be. So the whole reason why I brought up this story is because my initial contact with one Aaron Well was through eBay with me mailing him Trollbloods models across the world. And
what? Yep. Trolls?
Yep. That's what I started. That's when I started. My first faction was Trolls.
And I don't even remember, there were a few like questions or special instructions or something. I remember that we did have, it wasn't just like an order and mail it out. We had some interactions with customer service stuff. And so I had kind of that as a baseline. And
well,
then,
there was one, if you remember, this huge box turned up and I thought, wow, I didn't know what I ordered here. Like, I mean, I was ordering a lot of stuff, but what actually happened was that you sent me out an order that was supposed to go to Italy. So this huge box turned up at home. I'm like, wow, what's this? Anyway, so I emailed you and I said, I think you sent me the wrong box. And not that I was worried, but it's like, you know, there was multiple hundreds of dollars of product in this box. Yeah. And they're like, oh, can you send Italy for me? I'm like, yeah, sure.
So
whoever got that box was like, your models came from Idaho via Hobart to Italy.
So fast forward a little bit and I get an email from Aaron and he says that he's going to be doing this trip to America and that, you know, he's going to go to Lock and Load. And then he also wants to go to a few other places in America. And he has his brother in Salt Lake. He wants to go out to Iowa, see some people there. And that he's also interested. He's been a big fan of Chain Attack and he's interested in, you know, driving up to Idaho Falls and visiting and seeing the store and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, sure. That would be a lot of fun. And
let me just say something here. This is one of our first interactions that I remember with a fan, and this was new and different to us. We had no clue that anybody was even listening on the other end, and the idea that someone wanted to meet us was really kind of odd in a way. And I'm like,
unexpected.
I'm like, is this guy going to kill us? Or
so, what? As part of his email, he like asked for. Like any hotel recommendations or stuff like that. And I gave him a couple and, you know, I mentioned the emails to Brian and I mentioned the hotel suggestions, et cetera. And I was like, should we be offering to let him stay with us? And he's like, we don't let people stay in our house that we haven't met. And like, who knows if this person is going to be like, you know, throwing a basket at you and saying it puts lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again and wants to work.
Clearly Brian and I have more in common than we realize.
True. I'm more on the other end of the scale than he is. That's definitely true.
To be fair, though, you know, normally my accent, you know, bedazzles most Americans. So, you know, I thought just like, you know, all I got to do is talk to these guys, you know, and I'm sure I'll win them over.
But clearly the accent must have been in the email somehow.
Well,
the email made the sale.
Well, so then we go to Lock and Load that year, and Brian's there with us, and we decide that we're going to have a get-together for the podcast and people who are listening to it. And we go to Cheesecake Factory, I believe.
That's correct, because we were in – it was the last year that it was actually in – it was in Seattle downtown,
yeah.
So it was before
yeah.
2013.
Yeah,
2013.
And so
I think I've eaten at Cheesecake Factory with Brian – and Jay more than any other place.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Brian can order a quinoa salad or whatever. They actually, since they have a menu,
they have everything on the menu.
Yeah, he can actually get something there that he can eat. And so we have dinner with people, and Aaron's there. And just from that dinner was enough for Brian to be like, okay. It's okay for us to invite him to stay at our place, as opposed to having to get a hotel. And so he came up, and then that kind of. I don't think that since then, you've missed a summer of coming That's up right. and visiting and staying at our place.
That's right. That's unfortunately a little curveball that the virus has thrown at us. So you know, it's all right though. The good news story about this is that. All my leave is just banking up, so you know.
Yeah, that's true.
When we can travel again, we can, you know, it'll be a lot longer, so we can all hang out and catch up on lost time.
I'll give one more little coda story to go along with this. So, Aaron has a brother, like I mentioned, that lives down in Salt Lake City, and Idaho Falls was going to have like this. This complete
eclipse, right?
And it was happening the same time as Gen Con, and Brian and I were going to be out of town during it because of Gen Con. And I think it was the Monday after Gen Con was when it was going to happen, but we didn't want to travel during the eclipse, and so we extended our trip one day over what we normally do for Gen Con. And so Aaron contacts us. And he's like, you know, my brother is like really excited about this eclipse, and the like hotels and everything was either A, crazy expensive or just impossible to book. And so Aaron was like, you know, would you guys be okay with my brother staying at your guys' place and seeing and his parents too? Aaron's parents were. Live in Australia, and they were visiting the States. We're going to, and so it'd be, you know, his brother, his son, and Aaron's parents come to our place and see the eclipse. And Brian was like, man, it is a sign of how much I love Aaron Weld. I think he's one of the only people I can think of that I would allow his family to stay in my house, who I've never met.
And thankfully we're still friends, just if anyone was wondering. Yeah, the whole trip went okay, so
yep, it went without a hitch. And actually
the funny thing is I think both of our spouses, Jay, love Aaron like a ridiculous amount.
It's true, yes.
so yeah, the accent must work.
It works on you, Josh. That's all I need, my friend. It's fine. See, after you get the cane and the monocle, and then maybe you know, after a little bit of training and coaching, I could stand up and, you know, any important press conferences, I can talk for you, and then everyone will be wooed by my voice, you know.
This plan just gets more and more brilliant.
Well, we did our favorite memories at cons. I think we should do some favorite memories with Aaron. Josh, you may have already done that with yours, but I'm sure you can think of another.
Some of the
things, the memories that I've had as the some of my favorites with Aaron is that whenever he comes and visits and stay with us, basically one or two times a day, we end up going and walking the green belt at Idaho Falls together. And it's just one of my favorite things to do with people, and one of my favorite memories doing with Aaron. Then the other one I would say is last year Aaron did his trip to America, timed it such that the start of it was like the very start of Lock and Load, and flew into Seattle. And then on the 4th of July, we went with Aaron to Disneyland and Chile. And then the end of it was Aaron going with us to Gen Con. And it was just a fun set of events to do with each other.
Mm. No, they're amazing trip. And we're trying to replicate it again this year. But again, unfortunately, we've been thorough spanning at work. So it'll be 2021. We'll do all that again for sure.
Yeah. What about you guys? Have any other favorite Aaron memories?
So, see, I depend on other people to keep track of actual timelines for me. So I don't remember if it was last year or if it was 2 years ago. You guys will have to tell me. Like, but there was just an evening that we went out. We did a walk around the Greenbelt. This was Jay and Brian and Aaron and my sweetheart, Laramie, was with us. And just the whole evening, it's just one of those evenings that you just will always have a fond memory. The company was wonderful. The food was good. And it was one of those rare evenings in Idaho that the weather didn't like actively hate you, you know, that type of thing. And anyway, that's the one I thought of. And it's just one of those times that, like I said, like my sweetheart just thinks Aaron is just one of the most wonderful people that she's ever gotten to interact with. And she interacts with a lot more people than me, so.
Well, for me, Josh, it was follow on from that trip. A huge fond memory of your family, which is very dear to me, is that I was able to stay with you because Jay and Brian were coming back a day later from Seattle. And obviously, our adventure, we changed the car. We drove back from Boise. We got home and we slept. And you, the soldier, got up and went to work early, and so I woke up, and your two amazing, beautiful boys were downstairs playing, and I could just hear them talking as I kind of came to, and Harm was talking to Jed, and he was like, you know, shh, we've got to be quiet because Daddy's friends are sleeping there. And then I got up, and they were so fascinated. They were so fascinated by me, and it was so funny. It was so lovely just to be able to spend that day with them and play games and hang out, and then obviously the rest of your family, and they were very loving and welcoming. So for me, that's a huge positive memory for me. First real introduction to your whole family, mate. So it was beautiful.
Anything that you wanted to mention, Trevor?
I guess I can share a War Machine memory since you guys are being all touchy feely and stuff.
Okay. Well, I've got a touchy-feely memory about your family tree, which I'll get to in a second.
All right. So we used to have a joke on this show. It's been a while, but we would talk about how conventions were such a big deal, and they had such a heavy weight. And anytime we'd give an example of a regional tournament, we would talk about the Utah Cup. And the reason why the co-host did that was not because the Utah Cup was a joking matter in any ways. We weren't making fun of Utahns. They did it because I won it 2 years in a row. And so they were trying to put it down. Well, the second year I won it, or was it the first year? It was the second year. The finals was Aaron and I. And I remember that was – I played quite a few games with Aaron, but I think that was probably the most tense game that we ever had. I remember it was Gorshade 1 versus Xerxes 1, maybe?
Correct. That is correct.
Yeah. I just remember that I think there was a point during the game where Aaron wanted to kill me. and he did not. And I he is one of the most gracious opponents. not the type to give. You know, just, you know, he's wanting to play fair and up straight. But he wants it to be everything to be clean. And that's the thing that I appreciate most about Aaron. And that game probably, exemplified it more than anything, I guess. We had a very close game. If I remember right, you came up like 1 or 2 points short of killing Mullet Karn. And then I think I rolled luckily and killed Gorshade with Mullet Karn.
That dirty old Cyclops.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. It was one of those things where I basically, kind of stole the game from Aaron because it was a matchup that, he had better positioning. He played better than me. He had an advantage in the matchup because of, Gorshade's control area versus Xerxes. Things just didn't go his way. And I ended up winning in a game that I probably should have never won. But Aaron was gracious all the way to the end. So
funny you say that. I've still got my trophy at home. That just, still got my little trophy from that. That's really funny. It was a, I think you guys, it was either like the second place or first place loser or something like that. Anyway, it was really funny. So. So I got that sitting on the shelf.
I have an Aaron memory to say as well. So when Aaron first came over, and I guess maybe you can answer this question, Aaron, you didn't really, as I recall, you didn't really bring models with you. Were you concerned about traveling with models?
No, I just think for me it was all, so back in 2013 it was so when I decided I was going to come visit my brother, and not to digress too quickly, sorry, too much, but I was lucky enough to have 12 weeks vacation. So I was coming over effectively for the entire summer. And at that stage, obviously, I'd played a lot of War Machine and been playing for a good couple of years, but it was all the whole lock and load thing all became a bit of an afterthought. So it was, the first thing was like, well, I'm going to go to America. I'd been before, but those kind of visits were more strictly just purely to come over, spend time with family. Either at the stage, my brother's still in Salt Lake City, my sister had about 18 months in Denver, and my family in Southern California. But then this trip, obviously, I was going to go out and do some things on my own and travel around, see different cities and so forth. And then obviously that's where the idea popped in my head about lock and load. So, I think it was kind of like mid to late Feb is when I finally booked my tickets. And then when I had a look at Lock and Load already sold out. So I basically just started to contact PP and just said, hey, I'm going to be in town. I'm not going to be playing any games, but obviously just wanted to see the whole experience. And they're like, yep, no worries. And then obviously when I started to talk to you, as I said, for me, it just, the whole concept of traveling with models, I just hadn't factored that in. And then when you were so gracious to say, oh, well, you know, you'd be more than happy to borrow some models, then that just, I mean, obviously for me, it was just, you know, playing Iron Arena, but it was just obviously a very generous offer. And it was just awesome because, I mean, obviously, you know, at that stage, me playing, it was just playing in local events. You know, I hadn't even started playing in the greater Australian meta, you know, going over and playing with you guys was really the first other people that I were playing that were outside of the people of my local meta.
And one of the things I thought was interesting, or why I brought it up, I guess two reasons. One of the things that you did a lot of was you would go and watch games that you thought were interesting. And it was obvious that you were trying to learn a lot from the various games that you were watching. Mm-hmm. The other thing that was that I have a fond memory about with you and with the game is... there were a lot of times where you would be watching my game, or you would, it almost felt like I had a cheerleader that was on my side of the table rooting me on.
Most definitely.
And some of my poor opponents, probably, I guess I never really thought about that, but he comes off as a big teddy bear, but you can be a little bit of a imposing person sometimes, so
Jason Forks are sitting next to the table.
You sure you want to go for that assassination? No, they were we behaved ourselves quite well. There was no table talk. There was nothing inappropriate. It was to sit there in silence and watch. But as you said, that probably came over more intimidating than maybe you and I laughing and chatting and talking about stuff, you know. So, yes, no, it definitely was. It was just a matter of like, wow, you know, for me, it was just such an awesome experience of like, you know, this is just next level. And, you know, just watching people play, you know what I mean? Like, you obviously, you hear the names of people that play the game and, you know, obviously to be there and, you know, and see them and intermingle with them was just amazing. So, I have to go back and, oh, sorry, you go.
Real quick, was it your second year that I won the Iron Gauntlet? It wasn't the first year, was it?
Second year that you won Iron Gauntlet. That's correct. Second year that you won Iron Gauntlet. Yeah. Yeah. And that was an amazing roller coaster too, watching that. They didn't allow me to get close to watch that game, you know, between you and Jason.
The first round, I was friends with Trent Dennison, and you're obviously friends with both of us as well. And it was kind of interesting. He played a better game than I did, and I went for an assassination, and it ended up working. Obviously,
you got it. You got it. Yep.
But it's interesting when you have the chance to watch friends that are playing games versus each other.
Mm, yeah, I definitely was chewing a few fingernails between turns. That's for sure. Just thinking about, you know, like, oh, it was really cool. It was really cool.
Anyway, yeah, and then following.
I was just going to go back to the. I was just going to go back to my touchy feely story about Trevor and his amazing family. So, a couple of years ago, I got invited to their place for dinner, and we had a beautiful dinner. But what I want to focus on, which was so much fun, was that, and I love this because you know, my family, obviously, you know, I got tons of fond memories of when your whole family do stuff, and it's really cool. So, I was there, obviously, with Trevor and Melissa and their beautiful children, and we're there sitting there, and we all sit down on the couch, and this awesome game, this also awesome video game they're playing. I can't remember the name of it, Trevor, but you remember, you know, we're little chefs, and we're all going to run around and all work together to basically make food. Yeah, yeah. And it was really awesome because everyone's so excited and you see everyone play, and obviously I was playing too, but it was such an awesome, fond memory of like the whole family working together and having a laugh and just enjoying it. And I think I was like trying to wash up dishes and Melissa's like, no, you need to do this. You know what I mean? And then someone else will be telling you, you know what I mean? Cole will be telling me what to do and Trevor will be running around and, oh, we're going to do this and watch out for this. And oh, it was just hilarious. Yeah, we're just all working together, playing that game. And yeah, for me, obviously, you know, just that obviously very much reminded me of my family in terms of, you know, when we all used to get together and all, you know, after dinner or wherever it is, you know, Sunday mornings or whatever, just get together and hang out and play games and have fun. So yeah,
it's kind of funny as I have this unique experience as a gamer in that my wife is very much a gamer and I have three kids who are all very much a gamer. I don't have any of them that don't like games. You know, I don't have that one child who's just like, I don't want to do that or whatever. But it's funny. I always had this dream of, you know, of having that type of family, and it's all come true except for I thought we would get together and play games together all the time. Instead, it's like, no, I don't want to play your game. I want to play my game. And everyone goes off and plays their own games and nobody wants to. So the rare times that we actually get together and play games like Overcooked is a lot of fun, but it's very hard to get us all on the same page at the same time.
Well, you have to 2021. Tell them Big Tasmanian will come back, and we'll have to all get together again. Put in the calendar now.
I think I went to that same dinner and had some of Trevor's delicious smoked meats.
They were delicious. They were very, very delicious.
I have some new games for you. Beautiful. Beyond Overcooked.
Beautiful. I'm in.
We're going to talk about some of them on future episodes of this show, but some of them are quite amazing.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Excellent. Well, are there any other topics or things that people wanted to talk about?
No, for me it was just to relive some awesome memories and you know, bit of awesome reflection.
I think that meeting Aaron as a a fan of the show, but as a friend, was a good experience for us as a podcast. It helped us realize that, hey, you know, there are people listening and they're normal gamers like us. And, you know, we can connect with them on personal levels. And Aaron was the first, but he wasn't the only. We've made a lot of friends over the last 9 years, some really good friends, people who, truthfully, who don't play the game and haven't played the game for a long time, who are still pretty good friends with each of us, you know, various friends. So I think that this whole thing has been life-changing in a way that I can't express, and Aaron was really the start of that.
I feel the exact same way. It was just funny how it all kind of come together, you know what I mean? So you know, and outside of War Machine, you know what I mean, it's really good just to hang out, and you know what I mean, similar interests and share experiences and share experiences together, and it's really great.
So one of my disappointments with the lockdown is that I'd been thinking about what we wanted to do for episode 200, the last one, etc. And I guess we'll see what the governor says tomorrow, but I don't think it's going to end up being possible. And I really kind of wish that for episode 200, we had been able to do like one final battle report for Chain Attack.
All time's sake.
Yeah,
it, right.
But that seems a little bit difficult to
dicey. Do with
social distancing.
Dicey.
Oh, never change, Josh.
Yeah. I just in my mind almost picture like, you know, it'd be like a little bit of a secret underground meet, you know what I mean? You guys would have to stagger every time you turn up at the shop, and you know what I mean? Like you just. Club. Yeah, you know, someone would have to just go through the front door and by themselves and then wait and someone come through, you know, the side door and dear.
I have a news flash for you, Aaron. It turns out that the enforcement in Idaho is basically non-existent.
I assume that, but I didn't want to be the first one to say it.
Yeah. It turns out I could basically have like spotlights and big neon signs going on at Gameopolis, and no one would really care.
No one would care.
Truthfully, he'd be cheered on by quite a few of the locals.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. Okay, well, Aaron, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to do this with us. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. I always love talking to you guys. It's so much fun. And obviously, this episode's special, you know, kind of got a bit down memory lane. So it's been my pleasure.
Awesome. Well, thank you. So on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening.
Whoa.
Oh, my heavens. I forgot.
I know it was unofficial, but I have an official one, sir.
My bad. Gosh. Please.
Pump
please
those brakes.
Bad joke.
Listen, I learned. Do you guys know how do you get a country girl's attention?
How?
A tractor.
Oh, that's really good. I like that. I like that a lot.
All the best dad jokes have a tractor in them. That's all there. I've just realized. All right, you may proceed.
That's how you know when a dad joke is a dad joke. When it's apparent.
Oh dear.
Okay, well, on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of Chain Attack.
Chain Attack.